I want to invite you, just as we come in a moment to read God's word in Matthew chapter 4, and this is the second part of a kind of two-part vision talk for us as a church before we start our main sermon sort of series that we're looking at in this amazing next part of the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to be looking over these coming weeks at these amazing teaching of Jesus. But as we read this, I want us to be just saying, God, what do you want to say to me? And after this, I'm going to get us to stand, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for our nation at this key time, and we're going to pray that God would help us to be the people he calls us to be those that shine for him in these times. So let me read Matthew chapter 4, and it's page 968. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So would you stand with me and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we stand to seek you to continue to do what we've been doing this week and even in this service. We stand together in prayer because you call us to be people of prayer. Lord, we believe that you hear and answer prayer. And Lord, we're in a time in our nation where, Lord, we particularly need your help. Lord, your word calls us to pray for those in authority over us. And we pray for our leaders. We pray for Theresa May this week. Give her wisdom. Lord, we pray for the cabinet. We pray for, Lord, the members of parliament. We pray particularly for our members of parliament representing these areas, Lord, for Peter Kyle and Caroline Lucas and others. God, we pray. We pray, give them, Lord, just such clear sense of your leading and direction. And Lord, we pray at this key time, this key week, that you would overrule. Lord, you alone know what's best for us. And we say, as you taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Lord, in all this, Lord, help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Lord, speak to us now. Help us, we pray. For we ask in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats, everyone. I wonder if you recognize what this is. Here we go.
There are warnings of gales in Viking, north at Zira, south at Zira, 40s, Cromartie, Forth, Tyne, Dogger, Fisher, German Bight, Humber, Thames, Irish Sea, Rockall.
Is it a sense of what's going to happen in Parliament in this coming week? Gales afoot? It's actually something on Radio 4 this morning, early hours. Anyone know what? Shipping forecast. The shipping forecast. There will have been thousands of fishermen this morning who will have been listening to that with the British Isles. People have been going out. And even sometimes, when it's not even that great weather, sometimes that's great for fishing. You know, I read this week that fishing, being a fisherman, is the most dangerous peacetime occupation. Because actually, it's not great to fish when, you know, you and I like to go out swimming in the sea when the sun is shining and it's all flat as a duck pond. You know, that's not necessarily great fishing. They usually fish at night. In the early morning, fish where the fish are. We have in our story Jesus meeting fishermen. And it's going to help us today if we can get into something of what it is to think and imagine what it was like for those fishermen. For Simon, I might sometimes call him Peter because he gets called both even in this passage, and his brother Andrew, and then James and John and their father Zebedee. And I want to ask you this as we start, just thinking about Simon and Andrew and James and John. I want to ask you, you know, here they are, verse 18, look with me. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake. Why were they doing that? Look down. Because they were fishermen. That's what fishermen do. He was casting a net because they were fishermen. But let me ask you this. Why do you think they were fishermen? Well, there could be all kinds of reasons, couldn't they? I mean, you think about what you do. Why do you do what you do? Why did those fishermen spend their lives, even sometimes when it was dangerous, fishing? Well, it could be because they... main thing was that they wanted to provide for their family. They were in occupied land. There maybe wasn't many ways of doing that. And they were so determined to provide for their family that they were fishermen. It might have been, and you get a sense of this with James and John, that they did it because their dad did it. And their dad was kind of this key influence in their life. And they fished because their dad fished. You know, fishing was a kind of... a bit of a tough guy thing. It probably had a bit of an image that went with it. And, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe they did it. They liked the image. They liked being out in the water, the wind in the hair, the sort of argy-bargy of it. You know, we don't fully know why they were fishermen. They were fishermen, and they were fishermen for a reason. And if you dig down, you probably find that there was things in it that they found their security in. Things in it that they found their sense of fulfillment and identity in. And I want to ask, what is it that you do and why do you do it? Not just as a job, but in life, the decisions you make. Why do you do and I do the things that we do? And if you press into that question, you will discover that probably... underlying the choices and decisions you make, there are issues to do with the things you find your security, your significance, your identity, your sense of fulfillment in. In fact, I heard someone say this week that actually if you really want to do some kind of heart surgery and discover what are the things that really kind of make you tick, not just the things you kind of say or sing or put on a form, but really what's going on in your heart, you know, you can ask these two questions. Well, what is it that you daydream about? And what are your nightmares? What are the things you daydream about? What are the things that your heart actually really longs for? And what are your nightmares? What are the things that actually you really fear losing or really fear this going wrong? Well, I don't know all that those things would be for Simon and Andrew. We can maybe guess that they're, you know, they're longing for great catches of fish or for the business to thrive or the nightmare that might be the kind of the boat sinking or losing the business. But actually what it was for Simon and Andrew as we go through this talk is going to be less important than really knowing what those things are for us. Because we see here in the story Jesus coming and giving a very simple, clear, powerful call to Simon and Andrew. What does he say? Come, follow me. come follow me. But that is the same call that Jesus is still giving to you and I today. Jesus, this one we've been singing about, this one we've been worshiping, he is the one who comes and says to us too, come follow me. And that's the first thing I want us to really get in our hearts, that Jesus calls us to follow. He calls us to follow him. And when he does that, we're faced with a choice. Straight away, we're faced with a choice. It's really a simple, straightforward choice. You can either say yes, or you can say no. It's a choice. Yes or no. You might think there's a third, kind of, wait a bit, Jesus, I'll just do this. But you know what? That is really no. Not now. Maybe yes later. So really, it's just yes or no. You know, in the Bible, in the Gospels, there were people who Jesus called to follow, and they said no. Why do you think they said no? I can think of one man particularly. He was a very, very earnest, seeking, wanting to know more about God and wanting to follow him. He tried to do everything right. And Jesus said, great, come follow me. But he was a very wealthy man. And Jesus said, oh, you need to leave that behind. And what did he do? He didn't follow. Why? Well, because that was where he found his security, his significance, his identity. And so as we wrestle with this question this morning, Jesus calls us to follow. We're going to need to think, well, what is it that stops us and holds us back? What are those things that maybe we were thinking about at the beginning that actually are the kind of longings of our heart or are things we fear losing? Because what we discover is that if we're going to say yes to following Jesus, that particularly those things that we would want to put first in our lives, we need to be willing to step aside from those. It's not going to look the same for all of us. It won't necessarily look the same as it did for Peter and John. But we've got to realize that that's the tug. That's the choice in our hearts. So let me spin it around the other way. If we've thought why we'd say no, why would we say yes? Why would anyone say yes to following Jesus? Why did they say yes and at once leave their nets? Well, why would you follow someone? Well, you'd follow someone because of who they are. That you follow someone because you think they're worth following. And Jesus here with Simon and Andrew, you know, we don't know much in Matthew's gospel about what they knew about Jesus at this point, but in Luke's gospel, you can see that Jesus had clearly been teaching in that region. Simon and Andrew probably heard him speak. You get the sense in that gospel as well that this event happens after Jesus has actually healed Simon's mother-in-law. They knew Jesus was a healer, so they'd seen Jesus do these amazing things. And you also get the story that very similar to this in Luke's gospel, where Jesus actually gets into the boat with them, tells them to push out in the boat, and they'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing, and he tells them what to do, and they catch this amazing, miraculous catch. So we don't know all that was going on for them, but they almost certainly knew some things about Jesus, that he wasn't like most people. This Jesus that we've been worshiping is the most amazing person who's ever walked the planet. This Jesus is someone who, even for Simon and Andrew, at that beginning time of Jesus' life, they could already tell that he was worth following. That there was something special about this man. And for you and I, we know so much more than they did. You and I can read the rest of the Gospels and discover that this Jesus is one who was so full of compassion and humility. He would reach out and heal lepers and those who were kind of social outcasts. We know that this Jesus taught things that have been talked about all over the world for 2,000 years. We know that this Jesus is one who came, and as we've been singing, came as a savior to die for me and for you, to deal with the punishment for our wrongdoing, my wrongdoing, and what you've done wrong. And that he didn't stay dead, but he rose again, and he's alive. And people all over the world, even today, would say, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus, because I know you're alive. And I believe you're the most amazing person who ever lived. And what you say is the best way. Now, I don't know about you, what you know about Jesus, but I can tell you all that is stuff that you can investigate, you can dig into. And one of the ways we encourage people to do that here in the church is this Alpha course. You've probably got one of these on your seats. There might be two or three near you. Why don't you just grab one, give it a wave. It's a coffee, cake, and chat. I've found just in the last week or so just many opportunities to just tell people about this. People are often interested to know more, but I particularly want to say this here. If you're here and you're thinking, Jesus calls me to follow, I don't know that I know loads about Jesus. I've heard what David's just said there. It sounds amazing, but I would like to investigate it more. Please come along to this. If you turn to the back, it starts Monday, either 9:45 a.m. or 7:45 on the 28th of January. I would love it if you could come and join us. Please come to the connections point afterwards and just say, yes, I'll be there. I'd love to investigate. You could even do the first week as just a trial and see what it's like. And then the course is follows on after that. So why would we follow? Because of who Jesus is. And Simon and Andrew, when they'd seen something of Jesus, they thought, yes, I want to follow Jesus. But the thing is that for Peter, and this comes out in Luke chapter 5, actually, even though he knew Jesus was amazing, he had something actually which was an obstacle. When you read in Luke chapter 5, you see that actually when Jesus did this amazing catch of fish, Peter said, Lord, away from me. Away from me, for I'm a sinful man. You see, here we get a little insight into something maybe of Peter the fisherman. It wasn't all that he did it all for great emotive. There were things in his life that were more important to him than God. And even as he saw the Lord there, he thought, can I really be someone who can follow this person? And yet Jesus reached out to him and said, don't be afraid. Because Jesus has come to save sinners. He's come to call those who might have other things in their life, even kind of what we might call idols, other things that they worship and they put first. And yet Jesus calls those people to say, turn from your idols, turn from your sin, and come and follow me. Don't be afraid. In fact, if you look back in Matthew chapter 4 to verse 17, the verse before our reading, look what Jesus has gone around teaching and preaching. It says, from time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That word repent means turn. Turn from going this way and following that and worshiping these things, and turn from those idols in your life and turn to me and believe and trust that the kingdom is near, because the king is here. Jesus is the King, the Lord. He has come and he calls us to follow, to put him first. And that means for you and I, that means saying, I'm going to find my security and significance and identity and sense of fulfillment in Jesus, not in anything else first and foremost. And brothers and sisters, whether you're here as a Christian or a non-Christian, sometimes we can think, you know, as a Christian, we can think, well, we've got this sorted now. We've decided that we're going to, but yet other things creep into your life. You know, we had this week a day of prayer and fasting, and I discovered in the day of prayer and fasting how much I love food. I discovered something maybe even a bit more significant. It wasn't just that I love food. I actually don't like being uncomfortable. And I sometimes look for comfort in food and in other things. And actually, I realized as the day went on that comfort can be a bit of a thing for me. So much so that sometimes when Jesus says, go this way, and I think that's going to be uncomfortable, like keeping on fasting as the day goes on, I go, ooh, I don't know whether I want to do that, thank you very much. And so I have to keep making decisions to say, I'm not going to find my security in this. I'm going to find it in this, in Jesus. And I find too that I can all too easily find my security in the approval of others. Oh, it's a really easy thing for preachers to get into the trap of, and leaders, you know. So what do you all think of me? And, you know, we do that all the time. I'm not on Facebook or those kind of things, but I know what it's like to have that same sense where we can find our identity and our security in the likes of many rather than the love of one. That love of the one we were talking about last week, the love of one who says, in Christ, you are my son whom I love and with you I'm well pleased. So if you are a Christian, you'll probably find that there keep being things that you get drawn to follow before you follow Jesus. Or there are wrestles and things that we're going to come to and we're going to see. Actually, the reason we don't do these things is because we've still not said, yes, Jesus, everything I surrender to you, I will follow. And if you're here and you're seeking, you're thinking, I wouldn't call myself a Christian, but actually, there is something in this Jesus. There's been something in this time of worship. You might be here, and I want to say, well, if you're thinking, well, why follow? Does Jesus want me to follow? And I want to say, yes! He wants you to follow him. He wants you to turn and repent and believe. And for all of us, that will mean leaving some things. It won't be necessarily leaving the same things. It won't necessarily mean leaving your job, but it will mean leaving some things and deciding to say, Jesus, I want to follow you first and foremost. And I want to say here that as we follow Jesus, a little sign of whether we've really got that we're following him, that he is Lord, and that we're not still clinging to something else, something that maybe is a good thing, but we've turned it into a God thing, is that we actually come to him and we're not wanting to say, Jesus, please, would you get on board with my agenda? You know, I really want this and I really want this to work and that to work, these things that are like my idols. Will you get on board and bless them? But no, we're saying, Jesus, what is on your agenda? Because that's what I want to do. And church, if we're to be the church that God has called us to be, we need to say, God, we're not just asking you to get on board with our agenda, what we want to do, and with our cozy, comfortable things, we want to say, God, we want to get on board with your agenda. And so what is God's agenda for us? Well, he says it here in this passage. He, even as he calls them, he gives them a sense of what he's going to get them to do. He says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you to fish for people. Jesus calls us to follow, but he also sends us to fish. He sends us to fish not for fish, but for people. People that are so much more precious than fish. I mean, there are some similarities in what he gets the disciples to do and what they have been doing. You know, they knew that fishing was something that you needed hard work. It needed you to be intentional about it. It involved patience. And sometimes you'd catch things and sometimes you wouldn't. But, you know, fishing for people, you're not catching something that's living and then getting it so that you can eat it. For you. You're catching and looking for those who are spiritually dead. People, to bring them to life. Jesus came and he said, the thief comes, John 10, verse 10, to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and life to the full. That is what he's come to do. That is what he invites us to do, to join him in. He's the light of the world, and he calls us to come and be the light of the world too with him. We're going to look more at that in these coming weeks. He's inviting us to join him in his work. So let me ask you this. Why does Jesus want to send us fishing? Why is that on his agenda for us as a church, as his people, as his followers? Why is that on his agenda? Well, because people matter to him. Can you just turn to a neighbor and say that to them? People matter to him. He cares about them as he cares about you. And he does care about you. He cares for them as he cares about you. And it's impossible to go and help people know that they matter to God and help them see that there's this call that Jesus has on their life to follow him, to repent and believe that he has come as their savior. It's impossible for them to hear that unless you go to where they are. You know, it's impossible to fish for fish unless you go to where they are. That's why people go out in boats. That's why people wade into the water. That's why, because you need to go where the fish are. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why in Matthew chapter 4 we read this little phrase. And you might have, if you've been around church for a while, maybe you've learned this verse or come across it, you might be more familiar with it in a slightly older translation where it says this. And when it says, I will send you out to fish for people, you might remember where it's sometimes it's translated, I will make you fishers of men. And actually the word make and the word sent, it's the same word in the Greek, but it can have all kinds of meanings. It can even have the word kind of to shoot out. There's this something here that Jesus sends us out. This is a common theme in Jesus' kind of agenda for his people. So in John 17, verse 18, Jesus is praying, and he's praying. He's saying, Father, as you've sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. Or in that amazing commission that he gives at the end of Matthew's gospel, what does he say? He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. We're going to have a baptism next Sunday. Wow, fantastic. Two people have asked to be baptized. If you're here and you will say, I want to follow Jesus, and you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. There's so much in Scripture, even here, baptize them in the name of Jesus. So please, come and talk to someone about that. If you would like to get baptized in these coming weeks, it could be next week, but there'll be other opportunities as well. Talk to Johnny, who's been hosting, or myself, and we'd love to speak to you more about that. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them. We have to speak. Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded, and surely I will be with you always. So let me ask this question, why don't we always do that? Why don't we go and speak? If we're saying we want to follow Jesus, why don't we go and speak? Well, I heard someone put it like this once, that probably you could boil the reasons down to two reasons. First reason is that maybe we really don't believe as much as we think we do. We don't really believe that Jesus is Lord, that he alone saves, that he is good news for our friends. We don't believe. We somehow some other lies come in, and there's something else we're putting our trust in more. Or maybe we do believe, but we don't really care for the people enough. Now, I know here, I look around and I see so many who really do care deeply for loved ones, friends, neighbors, family members. And so I want to come back to where I've spent most of this morning on that following me. We need to be those then who say, no, we really do believe that what Jesus calls us to do is better than just whatever else might keep us from it. We need to be those who really do press in. And we need to have that courage and confidence that this is good news and that people are hungry to hear it. I heard a very interesting survey this week. It's called the Talking Jesus Survey. A search has been done in our nation about Christians and non-Christians, and those who are non-Christians, are they wanting to know a bit more about Jesus? And the survey just asked this question to a whole bunch of people in the UK, said, and the question is this, what percentage of the UK have a Christian friend they like? Okay, so here we go. What percentage of people in the UK have a Christian friend they like? I've got three options for you. Is it 20%, 40%, or 60%? Or roughly, okay, who thinks it's 20%? 20% of people in the UK have a Christian friend they like. Okay, good showing. Who thinks it's 40%? There we go, for Christian friend they like. And who thinks it's 60%? Okay. Do you know this is remarkable? 67% of the UK have a Christian friend they like. That is good news. You might be one of those people they like. I hope you are. Now, listen to this. What percentage of those 67%, if asked, would like to know more about Jesus? It's not all of them, but 20% of them want to know more about Jesus if they were asked. Now, we're sometimes waiting for them to ask us, but they're waiting for us to ask them whether they would like to know more about Jesus. Across the UK, that is 7.5 million people who are waiting to be asked to know more about Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come follow me and I will send you to fish for people. That's why our vision as a church is to be those that are transforming our city as a movement of missionary disciples. To be those that are missionaries, got that sense of a going people sent. We're to be those, even if it's across the street or across your kind of room in the workplace, wherever it is, that we're to be those that are sent and going as missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. And that we transform our city as we speak about Jesus, as we go and teach about him and what he's done and tell of the things and the way he's changed our lives. We need to be those who do our part. Our part is to proclaim Christ, that he is good news, that he is the Lord, that people need to turn to him and put their trust in him. And then God does what only God can do. He does the miracle of opening their eyes to see who Jesus is. And not all does that happen to. Even in that 20%, we're going to try and speak to someone and there will be people, there's both hunger for Jesus and there's hostility. We will find both. But Jesus doesn't say, oh, well, there's going to be hunger and hostility, so you better not do anything just in case. No, he says, go, I'm sending you out to fish for people. That's one of the reasons our vision as a church is that, to transform our city and beyond as a movement of missionary disciples, and that our values are then those that encapsulate something of that, that we want to follow Jesus. That's what we're about as a church. We want to be following Jesus and knowing that that means reaching out. And that we do that not just in a kind of own Lone Ranger way, but we do that best as an extended family where people can see the love we have for them. And that's why our communities are great little kind of expressions, local expressions of extended family, where people can see something of Christ in us. And this wonderfully is that. But then also that we're to do everything in love. We want to be those people who are moving towards others. I was inspired about my fishing, and so I thought I'd pick up the Angling Times. And I kid you not, there are fishermen in our nation, I think, who take more seriously fishing for fish than Christians do fishing for people. So, this guy says, top tips for 2019, spend time improving your casting. Consider the little things. This other guy says, what do I want to do in 2019? I want to introduce someone else to fishing. I'm thinking, boy, I want to make sure that we're doing that. I want to be introducing others to fishing, because there's no greater joy than sharing the good news with Jesus and seeing someone else go from spiritual death to life. So even today, I want to introduce you, if you've never done it, or maybe you've kind of lost and you've got fallen out of it, I want to say, guys, this week, join me. Let's go fishing together with Jesus. You know, you've got these two amazing opportunities. Next week's baptism service, invite people, come and hear a story of how God's changed people's lives. Will you take this and invite someone? And then this Alpha that we've spoken of, if you think, well, I've already done that, David, well, who are you going to invite? Or maybe it's to your community. You want to be like those who we've heard from, saying, yeah, I'm going to invite people to come and join me. But you know what? Fishing is not done on our own. We follow Jesus in it. We talk and listen to him. We follow his promptings and leading. That's why it's praying and fishing. Because the praying reminds us that it's all about a relationship with him. We talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. But we must do both. We as a church, we're called to be those who are going out and reaching others for Jesus. You know, his little top tip I heard recently, be friendly, be curious. Ask people questions about, oh, take an interest in their lives. This time when there's kind of storms going on for us as a nation, this is a good fishing time. People want to know where's the solid things that they can hope in. Be curious, ask them about their lives, and then be ready. Be ready to share something of your own life or story. Maybe be ready with an invitation to say, well, why don't you consider this? Be ready to maybe just share something about Jesus that has touched your heart. I had an opportunity this week. I was away in a conference, and I just was so thirsty. I went to get a glass of water from the bar in the sort of end of one of the sessions. There was no one else at the bar, and I spoke
to the two ladies behind the bar, and I got talking about what we were doing at the conference. They didn't have a clue what it was all about. And I said, well, it's about good news. It's about good news. And I gave them a little John's Gospel, and I turned to a page in it where it says that Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. And I said, I don't know about you, but I find that all too often peace can get unsettled in me and we can be fearful of things. And I said, this is good news. This is someone who wants to give you peace. If you will turn and trust him and read the rest of it. Brothers and sisters, we have such amazing opportunities. People do want to know where they can find real security, better than the other things that they're putting their trust in, to turn and find someone who's a rock. So we need to heed the call to follow. And then as we follow, to be willing to be sent. So I'm going to invite the band up, and we're going to just respond in two ways, just together. And the first way, as we sing this first song, it's the song, maybe we can have the words up on the screen. There's the chorus, it's saying, Christ is enough for me, and here's the little chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And I want to invite you, as you're singing this, to first just come and say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. I'm willing to leave any other kind of idols or anything else in my life. And so maybe we could just stand together. And you might just want to echo this prayer and say, Jesus, in your heart, just say, Jesus, I'm sorry where I've held back from following you. Lord, I want to turn from those other things that get in the way, and I want to say I've decided to follow you. I repent and believe. Lord, and what you say, I want to do.